not disappoint us.
Because God's love has been poured into our hearts. Please be seated. Well, it is both fun and dangerous as a priest to be friends on Facebook with some of your parishioners. Several folks here politely shared with me this meme or cartoon that's going around on Facebook. I want to make sure that I have seen it. It's a drawing of a congregation in various stages of sound sleep as a preacher is droning on and on from the pulpit. And the caption says, "There's a fine line between a long sermon and a hostage situation." Very appropriate for our Trinity sermon. A Trinity Sunday sermon for you today. That's what today is. It's a feast day. That's why we have all this white stuff up here. Trinity Sunday is the only feast day in our church calendar that celebrates a doctrine, a teaching of the church, as opposed to a person or an event. And it's also known in the Episcopal Church as the Get a Guest Preacher Sunday, because none of us want to preach on Trinity Sunday, I can tell you. It's not an easy task. And yet again, I have failed to do so, obviously, because here I am. In fact, your curate, Forbes, he outsmarted me. I signed him to preach on Trinity Sunday, but he signed up to do a camp session at Beckwith that starts today. That's why he is not here doing this. He will pay for that, I assure you, at some point. However, good news, unlike that cartoon, this will be a pretty short sermon. Because if you get too long-winded about Trinity Sunday, you are bound to start launching yourself into some heretical ideas. Because it's complicated, isn't it? And it's confusing. But we're going to try and struggle a little bit together today with it, our annual excursion into this concept of God as three in one, as we just sang. One God, three persons, blessed Trinity. It is hard to preach on. It's somewhat like what Jesus says in today's gospel. He has this comment in the gospel. It's one of my favorite sentences in all of the New Testament. He's meeting with the disciples. This is near time for him to ascend up to heaven. And he just kind of runs out of words. He says, "I got a lot more to say, but you won't get it anyway." Well, that's Trinity Sunday for us folks. I've tried some different approaches over the years. For instance, I've mentioned to you before, I believe, that one of my classmates in seminary preaching on Trinity Sunday talked about the old man and the young dude and a bird. It's one way we could do it, right? Last year, I think I went down the path of St. Augustine, who wrote 15 volumes just on the Trinity, and ends it with this idea that, well, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is love and the beloved and lover, and if we can think about it that way in this constant dance of love, we get as close as we can, I think, to understanding this stuff. So I'm not going to grasp at a lot of theological straws to explain something that really is unexplainable, because it's mystery. And as Episcopalians, we kind of embrace mystery. It's mystical truth of God, creator, redeemer, sustainer, Father, Son, and Spirit, whatever you want to use to label the persons of the Trinity. Instead of going down that path, I thought today we would just stop for a moment and think of the Holy Trinity as a gift, a wonderful, grace-filled gift for all of us. It's a gift we cannot earn. It's a gift we do not deserve. It's one we cannot throw away. It is a gift that longs for a loving relationship with us, because the Trinity itself is about relationship, constant, eternal relationship of the three persons of God. And when we get a little glimpse of that, we kind of get an idea of what we should be like in our relationships with one another. The way the Trinity actually exists within its holy self is this endless dance of love. So that should be clear as mud by now. So on to the first lesson, which is from Proverbs, a lesson about wisdom. And a little side note on this, it is interesting to me that in this lesson from Proverbs, wisdom, which is another name the Old Testament uses for the Holy Spirit, is considered female. Did you catch that? Now we know that God is neither male nor female, yet we also know that all of us, male and female alike, have been created in God's image. And I thought that this Trinity stuff might be confusing enough for you, I would just throw out some gender pronoun stuff, but I'm not going to go too far down that road, other than to point out that in this patriarchal world of the Old Testament, I find it interesting that wisdom is given this female treatment in the Hebrew language. But regardless of that, regardless of gender, wisdom is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is God and is with God. Wisdom Proverbs says, takes her stand and cries out to all the people. Wisdom claims to have been created by God as the first of God's acts, before the beginning, before anything was made. That should sound familiar. We say the same of Jesus, right, in the Creed. Through him all things were created, eternally begotten, God from God, light from light. It is the same for the Spirit, for wisdom as well. From the Father, the Son, and Spirit come, but yet are all still part of the one true God in that dance. Wisdom, the Spirit claims in the Proverbs, rejoices with God always. Did you see that part? And it ends with this wonderful saying that wisdom and God the Father daily delight in the human race itself. That God is delighting about us. That's an image you don't often get from the Old Testament, is it? We like to think of the Old Testament God as being kind of a meanie, right? Thunderbolts from the heavens and this kind of stuff. But here we learn that God delights in you, rejoices in all of the creation, and takes delight in us. God with Jesus and with the Spirit rejoicing together. That's the love that is beyond our understanding. Trinitarian love of lover and love and beloved, to use St. Augustine's terms. They are there eternally from before time, and they're there forever, and they're never-ending activity that is pure love. And then to think about that Trinity as taking delight in us, I think is pretty cool. Lastly, I want to talk about a word that St. Paul uses in the second lesson, and that is hope. I love what Paul writes in the reading from Romans chapter 5 today. It is short and simple, but it also gives us a clue to the very nature of God and this gift that I'm speaking of, this gift that allows us to be part of God's creation in a very special way. Now, some of this passage is disturbing. There are times when these words have, to be honest, irritated me. But my perspective is a little different now. As leaping from the page of what Paul writes is not all this stuff about endurance and trial and suffering, but instead about hope. Hope at the end of all this, hope through all of this. Look, St. Paul understood suffering fully. This man had been shipwrecked, blinded, beaten, chased out of town, thrown into jail, you name it, all for the sake of the gospel, the good news that he declared. Yet here he speaks to us about hope and glory. Paul says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's beginning to set up, I think, for us some Trinitarian way of thinking about God. Peace with God through Jesus. This is a core belief, and as Anglicans, this concept of an incarnate God, God becoming human, is essential to our Anglican theology. We are connected, we are reconciled with God through our faith in Jesus, the Son of God. Through Jesus, Paul writes. And he continues by teaching us, Paul does, that through Jesus we may obtain the grace of God. And it is that grace of God which God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Son delights in giving us. Delights in giving you. Now Paul does then go down the road that some of us sometimes flinch about, speaking of our sufferings. Now, don't read this part wrong. Paul is not encouraging suffering or trying to hold up our trials and tribulations as sent to us by God. That's poor theology. Instead, Paul is encouraging us to boast when we are suffering for some very specific godly reasons. I was very much struck by the second verse of the hymn we just sang, the gospel hymn, which says this. Listen to these words. And when human hearts are breaking under sorrow's iron rod, then we find that self-same aching deep within the heart of God. God suffers when we suffer. Suffering, Paul says, does build endurance, and I believe that to be true. This life we live is a marathon, not a sprint, isn't it? I think every one of you can agree with that, and every one of you have had to endure suffering in some terrible and difficult times. When we endure, as we are continuing to try to do, I know there are days when you wonder if you can, but you also should know this from this passage and from what you know about God in the Trinity, that the power of God's love and grace can make all the difference for you as you endure. And if we lean into that a little bit, Paul says that's how we gain character. And that character is, he says, a loving character, a grace-filled character. And it is through that character, Paul says, that we gain hope. Now, St. Paul's not finished, and he leaves us with a glorious thought for today, a Trinitarian thought, if there ever was one. So take this one home with you. He writes that through Christ, we obtain the peace and grace of God. So through the Son to the Father. And from that, we gain hope through our endurance. Paul says, our endurance will not disappoint us because grace is there. And because God's love, he says, has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. From Jesus to the Father, the Holy Spirit pours it into our hearts. That's the Trinity. Jesus is our mediator and advocate. The Holy Spirit as our comforter, walking alongside us, joining us in reconciling love with the God and Father of all, the Creator, the Lover, who in the love of the Holy Trinity, my friends, delights in you and rejoices in what God has made, even us, or maybe especially us. That's the dance of the Trinity, that ongoing dance of love, giving us a glimpse of how we should treat one another in relationships and how all that leads us through our tough times and our great times to hope. A hope grounded in this God, three in one, a delighted and delightful Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.